I got a letter last week from the Minnesota-Wisconsin Baptist Convention, and I've been invited again to speak at Empower on an effective welcomers ministry. And boys, I'm saying that to you, I got goosebumps going up and down my arms. I really, really, really am excited about that. So, first of all, I want to thank Tim and Jason for the opportunity to be up here, and thank you for the warm introduction, Pastor Roger. What a great day to be worshiping and glorifying God. What a great day. Even with the blizzard coming and the snow, you know, 60 miles and 5 or 6 inch snow deep is not too bad driving, you know. Thankfully, we have interstates to get around. Let's put it that way. And I heard somebody this morning talking about, we're only about a block and a half, 2 blocks away, and it was really tough coming in here. I understand. I do understand. Okay. I was here on the 12th. And as Tim said when I talked to him the other night, he goes, it was a covert mission. Now, I don't know about covert missions, but I know it was an unannounced visit, and I need to apologize to you. When I come in here, I didn't come in as myself. I came in as someone very quiet, kind of introverted, and I really wanted to see how you responded. And now you get to see the real me. I hope that's good. All right? Okay? All right. And it was very enjoyable. There's a lot of warmth and love here. A lot of warmth and love here. Now, today's sermon is on a welcoming church culture. And if you have a sermon outline that looks like this, great. If you don't, please raise your hand, and someone will make sure you do have one. And we're going to fill in all the blanks, and I'm going to issue this challenge to you. If we miss a blank, either look to your left, look to your right, or I'll be in the back afterwards and I'll help fill it in for you, because I hate walking out of church without all the blanks filled in, all right? Okay. Welcoming Church Culture is the name of the sermon. And it's for visitors primarily, but it's for also unknown attendees and unknown members. So it covers the complete gambit. But I'm going to focus more on visitors today. Over the years, I traveled a lot on business sales trips. I was a sales manager, sales representative all over the country. And I had the pleasure on Sunday mornings to visit many different churches across the country. And it was amazing. You get down south and there's not a 7 or 8 o'clock church. It's always a 9, 10, or 11. If it was a 9, I went to it because I knew I had work to do afterwards. So I went to many, many different places. And how I was treated really motivated me to start this ministry. I rephrase it, start the ministry for Trinity Baptist Church 15 years ago. Now, the ministry has continued to grow, but with the research and the reading and the studying, I've just continued to just be passionate about learning and growing and sharing and helping to be effective as a man that loves God and wants to see people love God and reach out to other people. Now, the Welcomers Ministry at Trinity has grown, influenced the church body to take the initiative to personally approach and welcome visitors. The friendly church body reaches out to say hello, start conversation, introduce oneself by name, shake hands, learn the visitor's name, develop sincere Christ-centered relationships. It's not the exclusive responsibility of the pastor or the elders or the ushers or the greeters team, etc. It's really the church body striving to create a positive first impression, and develop meaningful relationships with visitors. You know, this church-wide effort is called a welcoming church culture. My challenge for each person here today is to be actively involved, to understand what to do to enhance the welcoming church culture here at East Madison Baptist Church. You know, a visitor makes a final decision on the friendliness and whether or not to return to a church based on a host of keyword, non-scientific variables. Feelings, smiles, colors, parking lot, building appearance, sincerity, childcare availability, restroom cleanliness, worship music, sermon, content. All of those are involved. But one of the most critical ones is the decision rests heavily on developing new relationships with you. That's a primary factor. Now, let's just pray here briefly and we'll continue. Dear glorious Father, we praise you for this time. We ask your word to be spoken clearly. We ask your hand to be blessed on this church and for the guests to come and to bring the guests, Lord, and to bring them in droves to be thirsty, to listen and to learn and to be received and to create relationships that are just God-honoring. We just praise you, Lord, for this time, and we just thank you in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Now, what do you call a visitor? Anyone? Yeah, feedback is okay. What do you call a visitor? All right. Now, we call them a guest. It's like you look forward to getting to know that person. They're not a stranger. You don't invite visitors to your home, do you? No. You invite them in as a guest because you want to know them. You want to have a relationship. You want to eat with them. You want to create some dynamics to understand who they are and how to serve them and how to help them. The word guest creates an attitude and a frame of mind. So throughout the sermon today, I'll be using the word guest in place of the word visitor. And if I slip up, catch me, okay? All right? Now, that word guest was the first blank on your sermon outline. So I've got you started now if you're looking for blanks to fill in, okay? Now, where do guests come from? Where do guests come from? What's that?
Everywhere.
Okay, great answer. Anyone else? Huh? All right, great answer. I said that one time and a gentleman said, the parking lot, cars. We're going to pray for cars in the parking lot, okay? All right? And that's a true statement. But would you all agree there's someone that's omnipotent, that knows everything about us, in the past, present, and future, knows every hair on our head, knows what our future is ahead of us, and perhaps even the time, yeah, and the time when we have to go home, or we get to go home. So would you agree that guests come from God? Anybody want to disagree with that? I have yet to have an answer to that question. Okay? All right, so if we all agree that guests come from God, then my question to you is this. How does God want you to treat his guest? How does God want you to treat his guest? Does that put a little different light on a guest that walks into your church today? I don't know who that person is, so I'm kind of head over the other way. Well, if God brought him here, maybe it was an answer to prayer. Maybe they have a specific need. Maybe there's a couple that they're supposed to connect with that couple needs that help desperately. I don't know the way God orchestrates things. But he does, and he knows, and he cares. So our whole orientation, how we look at guests, it's not that they're an unwanted person. They're a gift that's been sent here. Our job is to be obedient and to serve and to create relationships and to talk to them and meet them. So with that being said, why do we seek a welcoming church culture? Well, first of all, if we do anything, it's always got to be biblical. We've got to have a foundation in which to build upon. And so the first, and I'm getting used to your clicker here, so pardon me. I know I really got to point it. Okay. He says, the first passage, which is one of the foundations, and that's the only way a welcomer's ministry can start. It has to be on a rock-solid foundation. And it says, and he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and foremost commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Your neighbor is that guest, whether in this building or outside this building. Which means on Sunday morning, choosing between seeking fellowship with church friends or meeting an unknown guest, what do? But it's uncomfortable. Oh, but I want to talk to my friends. What do we do? Well, we apply God's word. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others, and have this attitude in yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus. The answer, we choose to meet the guest. We choose to meet the guest, even if it means being uncomfortable. You know, I'll ask this question. How many of you have met someone for the first time and thought, oh, that was really horrible, and it was a horrible conversation, didn't go very well, and I was nervous and didn't know what to say? Please raise your hand if you ever had that happen to you. Guess what? It happens to us. And what happens over time? We do it again, we do it again, we do it again. Not the same way, okay? But we get better and better and better and better at this. And then it gets to be comfortable. Then it gets to be exciting, and it's like, whoa, you know, Lord, I have the opportunity to meet someone that I don't know, and I'm really enthused. I don't know where it's going to go and what's going to happen, but I know you're in charge. So remember, at a church service, you only had a limited amount of time before and after in service in which to meet the guest. Consider this may be the only opportunity to meet the guest and may determine whether that guest returns. So don't think to yourself, oh, I'm not making that big of a difference. You could be one that makes the most significant difference with that guest. So don't rule yourself out and give yourself the excuse. All right? Another passage. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? If you'll pardon me for paraphrasing this, get out of your comfort zone. Bottom line, get out of your comfort zone. It's a personal relationship. Love those who love you. Greet on, and not only greet your brothers. What reward do you have? Meaning, if you only greet those you know and take the easy, safe, and convenient and comfortable way, what reward will you have? Consider for a moment. What if Jesus Christ did not reach out to people, but chose to stay exclusively with his disciples? Because it was easy, safe, convenient, and comfortable. What would our faith and belief and example be based upon today? Jesus gave each of us the example to follow. We're commanded to reach out, approach people. Yes, we are commanded to approach people, just as missionaries do in a foreign land, except we're at East Madison Baptist Church this morning, and this is our mission field this morning. All right? Do we obey the command? Do we reach out? Each one of you has to answer that question yourself. Why do we seek a welcoming church culture? Conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders and making the most of the opportunity. I like that. Wisdom towards outsiders. Not fear, but wisdom. What else? Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how to respond to each person. One of the things I hear all the time is, what do I say? Oh, what am I going to say next? They're talking. I got to figure out what I'm going to say next. I want to engage in this conversation. It's amazing how sometimes the Holy Spirit will just step in and say, hey, this is the question. Or, hey, I really appreciate you sharing that. I had that same experience. You know, it's amazing. Don't be so concerned about what to say next. God will help you. God will definitely help you. And it was interesting, last week I looked up the word salt, because I always kind of wondered what the relationship was. Salt's a preservative, and it helps taste and give you flavor. So that you will know how you should respond to each person, this comparison is for a Christian, for the conversation to be wholesome and to be gracious. So that's the parallel that was being drawn. Are you praying in advance for guests to come to East Madison Baptist Church and asking the Holy Spirit for wisdom and what to say and to do? You know, we plan, we pray, prepare for vacations, holidays, sporting events, music lessons, social gatherings, which restaurant we're going to go to, potluck meals, business trips, and much, much more. We're always planning. Are you intentionally praying, personally planning, and here's a key word, expecting to meet a guest each Sunday? Well, let's see. How would you answer that question? Oops. Am unsure. I hadn't considered it. Don't you just love multiple choices? Don't you just love multiple choices? I regularly pray, plan, and anticipate guests. I commit to pray, plan, and meet guests. Yes, your decision. Remember that God promises to answer earnest, concerted prayer, so prepare and anticipate guests to come. When you're looking and wanting and hoping and you're praying, anything can happen. Anything can happen. Now, let's talk a little bit more about guests. How are they treated? And this is a little bit of a glimpse that gives you an insight. It's not real good. You do many things well here, just so you know that. While most churches claim to be friendly to others, often that only means towards existing members. Only towards existing members. Have you ever gone to a church, come in, worshiped, stood up after the service, and all these groups broke around you, and you stood there, and nobody came over, said hello, nobody said hi. Hey, welcome. It's really nice to have you here today. Or loaned you a pen so you could write some notes. You're very gracious, Grace. And it makes a big, big difference. It's funny. You can remember the sermon, but you also remember a lot more about how you were treated. Do I want to come back to that church? Do I feel warm and welcome? You know? So anyway, how should we treat guests? How should we treat them? A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Now, I love that last sentence, that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. You are being an example and model of Jesus Christ reaching out to people. You're his disciple. This is what he wants you to do. You know, are you reaching out in brotherly love? Are you witnessing as a disciple? Do you study, read, pray, listen, sing, write, speak God's word? But are you taking action in applying and trusting his word to approach a guest? You know, sometimes people call that where the rubber hits the road. All right? Are you doing what you say you're doing that God wants you to do? If a guest was seeking a Bible-believing and practicing church to join, what would they think about East Madison Baptist? If they experienced relationships, were warmly welcomed by people, felt there was a sincere interest to know them, were cared for, listened to God's word being preached, and made personal connections, what kind of impact do you think that would have on that person's life? Each of you has an impact, from the small to the tall. And I'm not going to get into young and old, okay? All right. As a disciple showing gracious and loving kindness to a guest which comes our way, we echo our Savior's invitation for salvation. And this may be the first step in showing that guest the way to heaven. It's a big responsibility we all carry. Now let's talk about meeting a guest. Meeting a guest. Now, the following information I'm going to share is going to seem very basic. And so I'll ask for your indulgence. But you'd be surprised at how many people are unsure what to do and how very uncomfortable they are meeting people. So my hope and my prayer is that by knowing what to do, this will make it easier for you to talk and meet a guest, not only in church, but outside these four walls. The parking lot going into the Walmart store, the grocery store, the basketball game, the soccer game, the ballet lessons, the trip to the library. The things I'm going to share with you, you can use them at any place. The church is not just four walls. There's a lot more out there. We all make mistakes, but we keep trying, we keep praying, we keep striving to get better. And I like the example. How many of you rode bicycles as little kids? Raise your hand. All right. How many rode bicycles after they took the training wheels as little kids? I'm hoping every hand came up or somebody quit in between. Okay. All right. You didn't quit. You didn't quit. You skinned your knee. You fell over the handlebars. You hit the curb. You fell over. You did all that sort of stuff. But what'd you do? You climbed back onto the seat and you kept on going. And now you're probably all excellent bike riders today. All right. But you kept going and going and going. So if you have a situation that doesn't work out well, You know, what can I learn? Pray. How can I do better? And get right back in there and do it again. First and foremost, and I did this a little prematurely, go meet the guest. Now, you have a challenge at this church of about 40 people. After the sermon today, you're all revved. You were already revved before, okay? I'm giving you a little more. The guest in the back, I'm just going to warn you, don't all of you go talk to the guest at the same time, all right? This mass attack in the rear, you're going to just blow the guest's mind, okay? So if someone's sitting there talking to them, wait till that person is done, and then come on over and talk to them. It makes a big difference. You got to remember that guests, a lot of time when they come in, of many, many surveys have been done, people going into a new building is absolutely uncomfortable. The top stress levels that a person will get when they go to a dentist, a doctor, oh yeah, and when they come into a new church building, it's an uncomfortable, very, very uncomfortable experience. And so as a welcoming culture, we're trying to gently help them feel at ease. I had one church that I stood up, hey, you're a guest or a visitor. I had shook hands with 30 people, didn't get a name, saw a lot of people. They said hello. I was just absolutely taken back. That church later on stopped doing that and encouraged the congregation to go meet the guest one-on-one and personally, and it makes a big, big difference. Besides, then the next Sunday I can come in with names and go, okay, Fred, Peter, Paul, et cetera, et cetera. You can remember the names when you have that type of relationship. Second, sit beside or behind a guest. If you don't have a formal welcomers programmed, guess what? You can still welcome. You don't have to have that certificate or a corporate program. You can still welcome, which is good. All right, sit behind them. Why? Because you're looking for the opportunity. Maybe it's during the service. Hey, please welcome our guests. And you stand up and you shake hands. And my name's Ward. What's your name? Oh, okay. Or after the service, you're right there. Hey, where are you from? What brings you to the church today? Hey, did you have to go a long way to get in the snow to come here today? I mean, there are lots of different ways of icebreaker conversations that you can start, but you've got to be close to them to have that conversation. You can't do it from going, hey, you in the back, did you have a good drive in this morning? Not very warm and personal, right? Okay. All right, next. Big, big, big one. How many of you like to be called, hey, you? There was one in the crowd. All right, all right. Introduce yourself by name. Hello, my name is Pastor Roger. What's your name? And that's the real Pastor Roger right there. Okay. All right. Say your name. Your name is very, very, very important because you give that person an identity and a name they can use. So when you're having a conversation, what's one of the hardest things that people have when you're having a conversation? Remembering somebody's name. Okay? So give them the name. Say it again. There was one gentleman in here that called me a different name, W-A-R-D. It's amazing how many names come off of the word ward, okay? It's just amazing. But the gentleman was very kind, and he came up to me today, and he said, you know, I called you the wrong name last week, and I'm sorry, and I know your name is, and he said the right name. And I really appreciated that very, very much, okay? And I'm not putting him on the spot. All right. Next, smile. I'm happy. There's a joy in your heart. Even with the struggles going through, God's in your heart. I mean, you should be smiling or have the ability to smile. People remember that. Wow, that guy was smiling. What's he up to? No, not true. Not true. Okay? All right? A big one is say hello. Now, I think there was a gentleman, his name is David. When I was here last week and I was going down the stairs to the restroom, he was coming up, and he looked at me and said, hey, good morning. And later on, I found out his name. So just got to remember, I kind of connect things together. That was really, really impressive. Say hello to people. Say hello. Now, it's interesting. Anybody ever heard of the 10-foot rule? If you're in 10 feet of a person that you don't know, say hello, good morning, how are you, et cetera, et cetera. If you don't do this, of all the things that you do very well, a guest will leave a church going, wow, that was not a very friendly place. And one of the things that they'll do is, well, was it something I said or how I looked or how I behaved? You know, they'll start to do an introspect on themselves, blaming themselves because this is what happened. And it's really not that case at all. But that's what some people will do. You don't want them to do that. And I mean, hey, if I have to say hello to 15 people coming up three flights of stairs, they're going down, I'm coming up, hello, 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 and go, wow, this is a friendly place. Okay? And if you have a little time, engage them in a conversation. Hey, you know, my name's Tim. What brings you here today? Hey, come on, let me walk up with you. I want to show you where the bulletins are, or where the, you know, where the child care is, or where you need to put your, you know, in other words, just have a conversation. It's amazing what can happen. But don't turn your head and don't walk by. If you see them, say hello, say hi, smile. Hey, nice to have you here today. If you don't, they'll perceive this church as being very unfriendly. Make eye contact. Have you ever shaken hands with someone? They really don't want to look at you. They're absolutely nervous. They're afraid what's going to go on. No. Stick your hand out. Look them square in the eyes. Hey, great to have you here today. No, I'm not selling you a new car. Okay? All right. But smile. Have a good time with it. Shaking hands. Shaking hands. Ladies, how many times has your hand been shook where it's hurting after a guy shook your hand? Raise your hand. Wow! All right. The goal is not to fossilize the ring in the fingers on either side because it absolutely hurts when you do that. And there are a lot of ladies they shake hands with, they do the half handshake. You know, they only grab it halfway. You never get into the thumb. And I can always tell their hands have been hurt. So gentlemen, when you grab a lady's hand, be very gentle. Either match your strength, all right, or give her half strength, but don't put the ring indelibleized in the finger, all right? Because, you know, she'll go away from that going, oh, man, that really hurt. And it will hurt for a while. So is that first impression a good first impression? Wow, I just remember that pain at East Madison Baptist Church. When that guy shook my hand, and, you know, I haven't been able to use those fingers for the last 2 weeks, you know, okay? So just be really gentle. And also, guys, when you shake hands firmly. Believe it or not, you know, the testosterone that does the bone crusher that we like to do when we're in high school and college and stuff. There's some men that have sore wrists, sore elbows, sore shoulders, and it hurts. And our opportunity here is not to hurt. It's to relationship, appreciate, value, not give somebody else pain. Now, I do have a couple guys at church that are really burly guys, and I like a rock solid hand, and we'll just crank and crank and crank to see who's going to let go first. But that I do between friends. I don't do that with people I'm meeting the first time. Okay. Ask for the guest name. Ask for the name. Because when you say that name, you just identified and recognized that that guest is here. That they're visible, you're seeing them, and they're not somebody just invisible kind of walking around the church that nobody's paying attention to. And hey, you don't have to raise your hands, but how many of you like to hear your first name said? Unless you're in trouble. But how many like to, okay? All right? We all do. It's nice. And when you say it in the conversation, wow, this person is recognizing who I am. All right? It also works really good at the checkout line at Walmart. I read the tag of the checkouter, and I use the name in line. Hey, Mary, thanks today. I really appreciate what you're doing. It was a lot of fun. Hey, is there a chance we can get that double bagged? How's your day going? You've been having a pretty good time? I just appreciate you being here and helping me get through the line. I'm always looking for ways to encourage and uplift people. And by knowing their name, you can have a tremendous impact. And by the time we leave, my wife will say this. We get the checkers laughing hilariously. But we're having a good time. They've got a tough job to do. They deal with a lot of different type of people. Why not make their lives enjoyable too? All right? Say the name and say it in the conversation. Say the name and say it in the conversation. Especially the ones that are hard to say. Say it again, say it again, say it again. Or write it down or phonetically spell it out and then try and say it again. Yeah, those are all little tricks you can use. Take a sincere personal interest. This is not an obligation that I have to do. I'm not getting paid for this. I'm not trying to get anything in return. I'm not trying to convince you to come to East Madison Baptist Church. It's not my job. That's God's job. I need to be the best person I can as a disciple of Jesus Christ reaching out to other people. I'm not trying to convince anybody to do anything. I'm just sincerely interested. And I've had people come and shake hands and, well, I'm looking at different churches. Okay? And my response has been, that's great. Thank you for giving me something that I can pray about, that God will plant you where he wants you to be, where you can flourish and make the biggest difference. Appreciate you taking the time to come here today. So it's an attitude. Yes, we would like people to come in here. We'd love to have God open the doors up and bring people in mass in here and grow this church and just have a tremendous impact in the city of Madison. But it's his timing, his will. We just have to do the best that we can do to honor and glorify him and be a believer and disciple and follow him. Ask a question to start a conversation. One gentleman walked in and he had a sweater on and it had a sailfish on it. And I've always wanted to go sail fishing. Never had the opportunity. I thought it would be just so much fun. I go, wow, that's really great. Did you ever do that? The guy did do it. And for the next 10 minutes, we had a conversation about sail fishing, where he went, what he had, how he did this, how much fun it was. Here's what kind of gear you get. This is what it costs. This is where it went. Here's the charter captain's name. Here's an email address. I mean, all that stuff came out in the 10-minute conversation because I found out something that this gentleman was very interested in and I was interested in, and we were had just, oh, it was a wonderful time. I still smile when I see him today. You go, hey, when you get rid of that sailfish sweater, let me know. I'd like to have it, okay? You know? But to start a conversation, one of the biggest fears that people have is, what do I say? Ooh, I don't know what to say. I'm going to take that fear away from you today. Any of you heard the word form before? Okay? All right. Stands for family. Stands for occupation. Stands for recreation. And it stands for message. Now, you don't have to do it in this order. Hey, do you have a family? Yeah. Oh. What's your wife's name? What do your kids do? Where do they go to school? They play soccer. Da, 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 da. Okay? Occupation. What do you do for a living? Oh, I'm the sales manager at XYZ company. Well, that sounds pretty cool. What kind of products do you have? All right. Recreation. Hey, what do you do with your free time? You know, Youth for Christ. I teach a children's Sunday school. I'm involved with the Boy Scouts. I'm an assistant soccer coach. I love to go fly fishing. You know, and just, and the list just goes on and on and on. You know, the key thing that when you use form and you ask the question, don't be thinking about the next question that you're going to ask. Yeah, a lot of people are chuckling. I do that. I do that. Be thinking, what is being said? You know, that was really interesting. Do you remember so-and-so? Oh, yeah. Hey, and you remember that car? It had this feature? Yeah, but you remember this option, that option, this option? And let the conversation kind of go. You're not trying to control a conversation. You're trying to have a conversation. And to do that, it takes two people listening and talking and communicating back and forth. And don't go, well, what's your family? I got two kids. Okay, hang on a second. Now, what's your occupation? Oh, that's good. All right, now, hold on. Now, what do you do for recreation? Any one of those questions could lead you into a very enjoyable conversation. All right? But don't be thinking about what you're saying next. Be listening to what is being said. And pardon this expression, God gave us what? One mouth, two ears, so which one does he want us to use more? All right, your call. All right. And the message, invite a guest to return to an upcoming church event, to a potluck, to an outreach that you're having is, hey, you know, I'm going to go see the Badgers play football. I got an extra ticket. You want to go along? I mean, there are any number of different things that you can do, but if you have a message, give them the message. Hey, come back next Sunday. You know, our interim pastor has got a really good message on such and such that I really can't wait to hear. Maybe you would enjoy it as well. All right? But invite them to come back, or to go to lunch, to go to dinner, or go out for a cup of coffee, or even ask them, hey, how can I pray for you? What do you need? And write down their prayer needs. And sometimes I'll just take them in a side area and I'll pray with them right then and there. And then I'll pray for them all week long. All right? People don't expect you to do that. It's amazing how many people say, nobody's ever prayed for me before. That just is amazing. Okay? Be attentive to serve the guest's needs. Location of the restroom, the nursery, information center. If you have an opportunity to take them to a location, take them there. Because while you're taking them there, you're talking to them. You're having a conversation. You're having a relationship. You're becoming interested and engaging them. You know, don't walk down the hallway and say absolutely nothing at all. You know, you have that opportunity with them there for a very brief period of time. Introduce the guest to another person with a similar interest or occupation by name. Now, I'll tell you that something very unique happened here 2 weeks ago that I was very impressed with. It's a little different, but I think it was a really good thing. A gentleman in your congregation introduced himself to me. We had a good conversation. We were going along. He says, "Hey, I want to introduce you to my family." So we turned, and about four rows up, he says, "That's my wife, Tricia. This is Nathan, Jessica, Kelsey." And it was very different. I never had that done before. I didn't get a chance to meet them in person, but I knew who they are. And then today I met Tricia in the office down there, and it's like, okay. Because remember, I got the back of their head because they were facing towards the front. So now I'm getting a little bit of the rest of the story right now, and it's really pretty good, okay? And thank you, Peter. That was very innovative. I'm just going to say, that's a first. So you taught me something that I didn't know you could do. All right. Escort and personally introduce the guest to the pastor. Oh, sorry. Okay. Serve their needs. We just did that. Introduce them to another person. Okay. Okay, introduce them to another person. Thanks, Diane, for helping me catch up. I forgot where I was. Okay. Introduce them to the pastor, an elder. Maybe it's Tim, maybe it's Brian, maybe it's Jason, maybe it's Pastor Roger. It's really, really important. Really, really important that they get to meet the leadership of your church. You know, if I'm going to come here and come to church here, I'm going to have a little bit of an idea of who these people are. They see us up front. But what are we like in person? And it's amazing how many people, when they walk out into a parking lot, go, "Whoa, I got a chance to shake hands with the pastor." Yeah. Very, very important, the shepherd of this flock, for people to know who they are and to have that relationship, or to meet the elders. It's very, very important. And don't be afraid to do that. It's a lot of fun. At Trinity, when we first started the welcome ministry 15 years ago, and we have 57 welcomers today, I'll just tell you, the pastor was get her done, objective oriented, A to B, and he was rather uncomfortable. Worked on him for 15 years, and I say that in a complimentary way. He's a fine man. From the pulpit here to the back where that gentleman is sitting back there now, after the service, he's there immediately. And his hand's out, and he's talking to people, and he's going up to talk to guests, and he's engaging them, and he's introducing them to other people, and he's just, I call him my number one welcomer. He does a great job. Does a really great job. He's come a long way, and he realizes the value of the relationships and people, and not always the projects that they'll get done, but people are very, very important. After the service, go meet the guest. Go talk with them again. Say their name. Thank them for coming. Invite them to come back again. And if you forgot their name, don't pretend. I must have a lot of things on my mind this morning. What was your name again? Okay? And don't be afraid to thank them for coming. Appreciate you being here. It was great to worship with you today. Thank you for coming. We'd love to have you come back again. And the big thing, big thing, invite them to return. Now, I can tell you when I was here 2 weeks ago, none of you invited me to return. And I came back anyway. Okay. All right. Why do guests join a church? They ask new members of growing congregations why they came to those churches. Well, church organizers expected to hear that was something like worship style. Nearly everyone talked about a relationship with an existing member, a neighbor or co-worker who had invited them, They came to church to make a profession of faith based on a relationship. And they stayed based on a significant relationship and finding what their role was in the church. And that is the final question on your sermon outline. So you don't need to look for any more blanks, okay? Now, I'll tell a very quick story. My son Michael was down in Platteville, was going to school, and was looking for a church. We knew the pastor. And so we went there on a Sunday, and we're sitting down for the first time, and he's looking around and everything, and it was a Southern Baptist church, Rolling Hills. And the guy that was supposed to do the music and the sound and the printing and all the other, everything, didn't show up. And so they were looking around, so I volunteered my son, Michael. He likes to do those things. Yes, I did volunteer. I'm one of those parents. And he's still going to that church today, and you wouldn't believe what he's doing. He's working with the audiovisual, the sound, the music, and everything. He's still doing it today. So he not only found he liked it, he's got a role that he enjoys doing, and he does it very, very well. And, so there are always blessings. So when you find out what you're doing, you stay because you enjoy being able to serve and use the skills that God's blessed you with, not to just keep to yourself, but to give away to serve others. The key word is relationship. It involves reaching, receiving, interacting, talking, acknowledging, serving, learning, caring, sharing, risking, involving, and creating relationships with a guest, being his, Christ's disciple. Developing relationships is a very powerful outreach, which leads to church growth. Developing relationships with church members and attendees adds to church retention. If you feel good about being here because people use your name when you walk in the door, what do you want to do? Gosh, I want to come back. People know who I am. It's a good thing. So what else is known about guests? Research shows a guest decides to return to the church in the first 10 to 12 minutes that they enter the building. Now, the sermon I heard 2 weeks ago was awesome. I really enjoyed that. The music that Lori and Tim head up was excellent. But sometimes people will already make their mind up before any of that takes place. And so somehow you as a church body need to be actively involved during that 10 to 12 minutes. Actively involved in the first 30 seconds. Now, how many of you men have walked into a store with your wife and she says, gee, I don't like the color on the walls. They got a spot over here. They need to make these shelves a little bit better so they're easier to read. And then, well, that sign is so small, and why did they put this over here? Can any of you relate to this? Okay. Well, in the first 30 seconds when somebody walks in, they're doing exactly the same thing. And it's not scientific. It's the way they view and what they see. So in that first 30 seconds, they make about 7 decisions in that first 30 seconds. And something for East Madison Baptist Church to think about is, how am I going to be involved in that first 30 seconds when they're making that decision? How am I going to be involved? Because if you don't, then you've got 10 to 12 minutes, really. You've got 9.5 minutes and 11.5 minutes because you just used the first 30 seconds up, okay? So be thinking about that, and there's some things I'm going to recommend later on. But it's really, really, really important. 30 seconds and 10 to 12 minutes. You ready for the last one? Okay. 85% of the guests will attend a church after 2 consecutive visits. 85%. All right. What should you do when that guest, when you're either meeting or you're parting company after the service, what should you say? Please come back next Sunday. We'd love to worship with you again. 85%. If you don't ask them back, what do you think is going to happen? They weren't interested. They didn't want me to come back. Okay. They didn't say anything. I won't come back. But at least ask them. 85%. Note, an effective church welcoming ministry creates the first impression, starts a relationship, serves the guests during the first crucial minutes when a guest is judging and deciding about the church. a welcoming church culture is the next step, taken by the entire church body to encourage, acknowledge, embrace these guests to develop sincere and meaningful personal relationships. You are the culture. You have a tremendous impact on the guests that come in here. And there's a great deal of enjoyment doing it well. Great deal of enjoyment doing it well. So at this point, I'm going to transition just a little bit, take just a couple more minutes. And I want to talk about Welcoming Touch Ministries. A couple of items. First of all, in the back, I've got a sign-up sheet. If you're interested in the news, email or updates, and I'll try and figure out how to use Google like you were talking about earlier, Roger. You know, that's not my forte sometimes, okay? Please sign your name on the sheet with your email address, and I promise you I don't sell those. And the sheet looks like this, and I've got it on a clipboard in the back there, okay? Second, referrals. Word of mouth remains the best and most effective form of advertising for Welcoming Touch Ministries. If you know another church pastor or ministry leader, tell them about this ministry. Give them my name, and I got some business cards back there. Business cards, ministry cards. I'll get that transition made right one of these days, okay? Give them a card. Let me know. Email me, call me, and I'll pick up the phone. I've never been shy about talking to anybody on the phone. I can tell you when I lived down south, deep south, it took me a while to get accustomed to the language. And I used to dread picking up the phone because I had a really hard time understanding the accents and slangs, okay? After a few years, I became one, and I can flip right back into that lingo as easy as could be, okay? But I'll call them. If you've got a person in mind today, come see me afterwards. I'll be back there at a little table, and I would love to talk to you further and gather that information from you. Next, support in prayer. You know, this is God's ministry. I'm a servant. It's His ministry. It's continued to grow. But I always want to grow under the umbrella of prayer. All right? That, to me, is the foundation that keeps you from getting the attacks and having things happen. I want it under prayer. I'm always looking for prayer. So I ask for prayer for wisdom, God's blessing and direction and guidance, a hedge of protection, for referrals, and for financial resources to operate this growing ministry. So if you'd be kind enough to put that in your prayer journals or your notes and to pray for this ministry, I would sincerely appreciate that. This is a hair trigger button, I'll tell you. All right. Ministry mission. Welcoming Touch Ministries is a nonprofit Wisconsin corporation whose primary mission is to develop welcoming cultures one person at a time to effectively reach the local community for Christ. Welcome Touch Ministries provides the following services: a welcoming church culture sermon, which is what you're experiencing today. Ooh, I like the way that was said. Okay. Second, an unannounced church visit evaluation took place on the 12th of January. Third, a welcoming workshop, which Tim and I are already talking about possible dates, and a written church welcoming manual, which I've already got a marked up copy that I'm working on already. Yeah, I've been busy. I try to stay busy. I love what I do, and I lose track of time. Ask my wife when I get down to my office, if I say I'm going to be down there an hour, I'm down there 4 or 5, and it feels like it was 10 minutes, okay? And I'm getting better, and I'm trying. I'm trying. No fee is charged for any service. No fee is charged for any service. I ask for travel expenses to be reimbursed and an honorarium to be prayed upon by the church body. And that's how I've been growing this ministry. Excuse me, God's been growing this ministry. I've had the pleasure of being along for the ride. Now, support financially. This will be the last item. I ask for your help for needed financial support. For this growing ministry to continue reaching out requires donations and faithful monthly supporters, just like you. Please continue to support this church with your tithe. If you made any financial commitments, one church, a bunch of people had committed financially to put a new roof on. Fulfill your commitments to your church. You made that to God. He's expecting that to take place. Do that. But if you'd like to help develop welcoming churches to reach communities for Christ, and especially people who are far from God, then please partner with us by financially supporting this ministry. Together we can make a difference. For more information about this, please see me after the service, and here's a little donation form that I have that I'd like to give to you, or answer any questions that you have. It's really, really important, the donations, because I see this kind of like the operating basis for this ministry. I want to be able to help and serve as many churches as possible. And I don't want money to be the issue. Do not want money to be the issue. So that base of support allows the foundation for churches that have resources and those that don't have resources to be able to benefit by this information. I don't want that to be a stumbling block. Thank you for listening today. Thank you for listening today and for the privilege of being with you to share what God has shown me. Thank you, Tim and Jason and Brian, Pastor Roger, and the leadership of this church for the opportunity to present this sermon. Now, if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to close this in prayer and we'll be done. Lord, we pray for guests to come and to be warmly received by the church body of East Madison Baptist Church. Please, Lord, bless and empower this body to do your will and to fill this church with people who earnestly desire a relationship with you. We praise you, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.